So let's review. Our shir began with the Gemara explaining the next halacha of the Mishnah on the previous daf. Noitel kalkala vo'evin b'toicha. One may move a basket that has a stone in it. The Gemara asks that the basket should be considered a basis l'davo aser, a base for a muktzah object, the stone, which makes the basket muktzah as well. The Gemara answers that the Mishnah is speaking of a case where there are fruits in the basket as well, making the basket a basis l'davo aser u'l'davo hamutah. A bus is for both a prohibited and permitted item, which may be moved. Regarding the issue of moving the muktzah stone while carrying the basket, the Gemara explains. Generally, it would indeed be forbidden, and the solution would be either spill out all the contents, then put all the fruit back in the basket without the stone, or shake the basket in a way that only the stone will fall out. Our Mishnah is speaking of a case where Evan Gufa Nasis Deifin Lekalkola, the stone itself becomes part of the basket by plugging a hole in the walls of the basket, rendering it no longer muktzah. The Mishnah also taught, "Metatlin truma tameya imat tahara v'imachulin." One may move truma that is tameh, which is muktzah, when it's in one basket together with truma that is tahar, or together with regular food which are not muktzah. I'm Rav Chisda. Tahara lamata v'tameya lamala. The Mishnah only allows moving the entire basket for the truma tahara when the truma tahara is under the truma tameya and it cannot get to it. But if the tahara truma were on top, you would have to remove only it instead of moving the entire basket. The Gemara explains that this is true where it is letzerich gufa. You need the actual truma. But if it is letzerich mekayma, you want to clear the space occupied by the basket, it would not help to take the tahara fruits only. Therefore, you may take the entire basket regardless of what's on top, as the Braisa explicitly states. The Gemara continues to explain the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af malin es haMeduma be'echer meya. Meduma is a mixture of Truma and Chulin, where if there is less than 1:1 ratio of Chulin to Truma, the entire mixture becomes forbidden for a Yisrael, a non-Kohen. If the Chulin to Truma ratio is 1:1 or greater, the mixture is permissible for a Yisrael, provided that he removes the amount of food corresponding to the amount of Truma that fell in and gives that to a Kohen. Rabbi Yehuda says that one may remove that symbolic truma from the mixture, thereby permitting the rest of the food to be eaten. The Gemara asks, "Vamai hokum asakin? Why is this permissible? He's fixing the rest of the food." The Gemara offers three possible answers. Perhaps Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Eliezer that truma be'ena mechta. The truma is viewed as distinct from the chulin that it is mixed with. That is why if part of a forbidden mixture of truma and chulin falls into other chulin, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, midamas ketrumas vaday. It needs to have 100 times the original amount of truma to become mutter, as if pure truma had fallen in. It only needs to have 100 times the proportionate amount of truma that was in the first mixture. The Gemara rejects this answer because maybe Rabbi Eliezer only views the truma as distinct l'chumra, to require a greater amount to nullify it, but not l'kula, to be lenient, as in the case of our Mishnah. After all, he's still fixing the mixture. Second, the Gemara suggests that Rabbi Yehuda holds that truma is viewed as distinct from the chulin that it is mixed with, because he holds like Rabbi Shimon, that if a saw of truma is batel b'meya, nullified 100 times its volume of chulin, and then another saw of truma falls into this mixture, it is mutter since we view the first saw of truma as separate from the 100 of chulin, and the new saw is viewed as having fallen into 100 of chulin. The Tanna Kamma holds that it's aser, because we view it all as one mixture which now consists of 2 saw of truma in 100 saw of chulin, which is a ratio of 50:1. The Gemara rejects this because maybe Rav Shimon does not view truma as distinct, and only permits the mixture in that case because the original truma is already nullified and is viewed as if it no longer exists at all. Finally, the Gemara answers that Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, who says, "Noisin eina b'tzad zeh v'oichel b'tzad acher." One can mentally designate one section of the mixture as truma and eat from the other part without actually removing anything, and that's what he must do in this case. However, Rabbi Yehuda takes it a step further and says, since the food is edible based on the option of fixing it mentally, he's not considered to be fixing it by physically removing it. Zog the Mishnah. Ha'evin shal pi'achavas. If a stone was inadvertently left on the opening of a barrel, matal tzida v'hinoy felos, one may tilt the barrel so that the stone falls off. The Gemara points out that if the stone was placed there intentionally, he may not tilt the barrel because it becomes a basis l'davo aser, a base for a forbidden object, and itself muktzah. The Mishnah continues. If the barrel is surrounded by other barrels or fragile objects which might break if you tilt the barrel, he may lift the barrel, bring it to a safe area, and then tilt it. The fact that the Mishnah prefers moving the barrel to just lifting off the stone directly demonstrates that it follows the opinion of Shimon Gamliel, who holds that when sorting a mixture of beans and dirt on Yom Tov, where removing dirt from beans or removing beans from dirt involve the same amount of effort, we should remove the beans from the dirt so as not to handle the muktzah directly. Apparently, whenever given the choice, we prefer not to move the muktzah item directly. The Mishnah said, Mo'oisha al hakar, minara sakar vehenoiflis. If somebody inadvertently left money on a pillow, he can shake it off the pillow. As mentioned earlier, regarding the stone on the barrel, the Gemara points out that if the money was placed there intentionally, he may not shake the pillow because it becomes a basis ladav ha'aser, a base for a forbidden object, and the pillow itself is muktzah. Also, as mentioned earlier regarding truma tameya, the Gemara explains that the requirement to shake the pillow is only where it is letzerech gufay, he needs the pillow. But if it is letzerech mekayma, he needs the space occupied by the pillow, he may even lift the pillow while the money is on it, because it would not help to merely shake off the money. The daf concludes with a discussion of the concept of kikarei tinik, using a non-muktzah item like a loaf of bread or a baby to move a muktzah item. A number of Amoraim hold that any muktzah item, such as a purse or a brick, that was inadvertently left where it's unprotected, may be moved by putting a tinik, a kikar, on it. The rationale being that the muktzah item becomes subordinate to the non-muktzah item. However, as Mazrucha points out, Hilchasa kokolhani shmaitze b'sheichech. One may utilize this dispensation only when the item was forgotten and in a place where there might be a loss. Rav Ashi holds that we may use kikarei tinik only to move a mess, a dead body, as Rashi says. The Chacham allowed it only mishum kavod habriyos kishemut b'chama, because of the dignity of the deceased where the body cannot be left where it is, for example, in the sun. The Gemara tells stories about how both Abaye and Rava utilized a kikarei tinik to move general muktzah items that were not necessarily left somewhere inadvertently, but then explains that actually, the items that Abaye and Rava moved were not muktzah at all, and could have been moved directly. They used a kikarei tinik as an added stringency because they were anashim chashuvim, prominent people, and people might think that those items are muktzah.